Father, it's my pleasure to pray for Rose this morning, to thank you for the time that she's put in to preparing and thinking over your word to preach this morning. And we ask that her words may be to us as coming from you directly, and your blessing may be upon her as she preaches. Amen.
Amen. So today we're continuing our talks on the recently adopted values of Pip and Jim's. These came out of a period of time seeking God for his vision for us as a church. The whole church asked God for dreams and words, and a group looked at and prayed over these to see what God was saying. Until we reached the vision, which I hope you all probably know by now, encounter, grow and go. So that's encounter God, grow in our faith and go out and share that faith with others. And we came up with 9 values to help us live out this vision. Oops, and my clicker's not working. Oh, there you go, that's not right. We should be on the 9 values, hopefully. Can I go backwards from there? No. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's because it's got the reading on it. Don't worry. That's fine. Okay, sorry, the 9 values. So worship, love, the gospel, prayer, the Bible, people, discipling and developing leaders. So living our whole lives as worship to God, seeking and knowing him with us now and forever, believing through prayer that God will speak and heal and transform us and the world, loving God with our whole selves and loving our neighbours as ourselves, believing the Bible, God's word, reveals his character and how to live in right relationship with him and his world, living and sharing and proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus in word and action, all people valued, respected, unique and loved. And then last week we had discipling and developing leaders, maturing together as followers of Christ and encouraging and enabling future leaders, not just in the church and our families, but also in our community. And so we're now on the last 2 to come. Draw a breath. The Holy Spirit today, the 8th, even though one of the slides later says the 7th, I can't count. It's the 8th in our series, and next week the 9th, mission. So today, the Holy Spirit, and this is how the group articulated it. The Holy Spirit being empowered, filled and transformed by the Holy Spirit to be and to do all that God calls us to. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit today, and we're going to start with, who is he? So first of all, he's a person. He's not an it, he's a person. We can grieve him or we can please him. We can resist him, we can insult him, or we can welcome him and we can have fellowship with him. He is God. He is part of the Trinity, part of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 3 co-equal and co-eternal persons. They've all got different emphases, different ways we see them, and yet in a mystery beyond our full understanding, it is one God. And Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." One God, united in creating and saving the world. In creating the world at the beginning, right at the beginning of Genesis, the Spirit and Jesus were there with the Father. We know the Spirit hovered over the water, and we're told by Christ all things were created and have their being. And in salvation, the Father sent the Son into the world as a human being. We say in our creed, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, the Father sent the Son to die for us, to rise again, to give us life. The Spirit gives life, we're told, in various places. He who raised Christ from the dead lives in us and will give life to our mortal bodies. So the three of them with one purpose. And the Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus, and he testifies about Jesus, especially what we've just said. He testifies that Jesus is God and man, that he's God's Son, that he's the Messiah who suffered and died, that he rose and ascended and is exalted now at the Father's right hand as judge of all. And the Spirit is our counselor. He's our helper. He's the one who lives in us forever. We're his temple. Imagine that. Imagine the glory of the Old Testament temple that was filled with God. We are now the temple of the Spirit. And the Spirit reminds us of Jesus' teaching. He tells us what's to come. He prays for us in accordance with God's will. He also convicts us when we've done wrong, develops our conscience for us so that we know when we're doing wrong and we can turn away. He's the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth. He's a seal. He's a deposit that guarantees our eternal inheritance. So where do we see him in action throughout the scripture? The Spirit can act on his own or he can act through people. And in the Old Testament, we see him acting through prophets and kings and leaders. You might think of many of them: Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Cyrus, king of Persia. Not just the people of Israel he acted through. A donkey, spoke through a donkey once. Mighty miracles and works of healing throughout the Old Testament. They did many things. They raised the dead. They parted rivers. They multiplied resources. They controlled the weather. They predicted the future. And especially, as we heard earlier, the coming of Jesus. And then in the New Testament, we see the Spirit working through Jesus and through his followers. Mighty miracles and works of healing. You might recognize that line. The blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised back to life. Jesus and the kingdom of God have come. And then post the New Testament, after the New Testament, right up till today, yesterday and tomorrow, mighty miracles and works of healing through God's people, through the church, through you and me. The Holy Spirit lives in us and will work through us if we trust in him. The kingdom of God is among us today. And that's because the Spirit lives in us. How is it possible that God, the Holy Spirit, can live in us? It's only possible because of the work of Jesus Christ. We've all done wrong. We said that in our confession. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We're all weakened by the sinful nature. We all fail if we try and live in our own strength. But as Paul declares in the previous passage, we may know and want to do what's right, but so often the good we want to do, we don't do, and what we hate, we do. We've got the desire to do what's good and what's godly, but we can't carry it out. It's one thing to know God's ways, God's right ways of truth and love and justice and mercy and forgiveness, but it's quite another to always manage to live in them. And Paul concludes the previous chapter, chapter 7 of Romans, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" But he then says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he begins chapter 8 of Romans with, "Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death."
Jesus was sent as one of us. He became the offering for our sin so that the demands of the law are met and we can live new lives in the Spirit. God came as a baby on that first Christmas. He'll come again at his second coming, and he lives in us now through his Spirit. Wow. We can be filled with the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And there's no shortage of the Spirit, like there might be shortage of finances or shortage of petrol. We can be filled to the whole measure. But why would God, the Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created the universe, the all-powerful ruler of all, why would he choose to live in you and in me? That is incredible. It's like, yeah, he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. That's why he comes and lives in us. He wants to make us all he's created us to be. He wants to achieve through us all his intended plans and purposes to save the world. How incredible. And as we said in our values, firstly, he wants to transform us and make us more like Christ. And secondly, he wants to empower us and equip us to do God's work, to be and to do all God calls us to. The law and the Spirit are like two different worlds. It's a bit like tadpoles and eggs and caterpillars. They become frogs and butterflies and birds, a whole new world of possibilities. That's the transformation in nature. We see that transformation. Well, the law and the Spirit is a bit like that. It's a bit like a whole transformation. Or a more modern example, here's a transformer. The youngsters would probably like that. You know, we can be changed into a whole new world of possibilities. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free, Galatians 5:1 says. Freedom to be and to do what? Not to indulge the sinful nature, but to serve one another in love. Sin hinders us. Let's throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, Hebrews 12 says, and in the Spirit move in to this new world that's opened up to us, the kingdom of God. We can become in the world, but not of the world. We can become new creations in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come, we're told. The Spirit helps us live differently. He sanctifies us. We're circumcised, not in the Old Testament sense, but the acts of the sinful nature are cut away. We no longer live gratifying them. Acts such as sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, factions, drunkenness. No more. Instead, we can keep in step with the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us his fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Life in the Spirit is so different to life under law. And Romans 8, the whole chapter goes on to talk about the differences. It says under law we're dead because of sin, we're condemned. But in the Spirit, we're alive through righteousness in Christ. It says our minds are death under law, they're life and peace under the Spirit. It says under law, we are powerless and helpless. We can't do the good we want to do. But in the Spirit, we're empowered and transformed. It says we're bound. We're like a prisoner to sin under law. But under the Spirit, we are free. It says that under law, our life is uncertain. It's temporal. Under the Spirit, we have eternity with God. It says we're a slave to fear. We're hostile to God. We can't please God under the law because we never succeed in being perfect. But in the Spirit, We are children of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. We belong. We're accepted. We're forgiven. We're restored. It's as different as a caterpillar to a butterfly, as an egg to a bird, as a frog and a tadpole. It's so different if we live in the Spirit. For those who believe in Jesus, streams of living water will flow from within them. Let's expect God's life, life-giving Spirit to flow through us like life-giving water, bringing new life to all around us. The Holy Spirit transforms us to be different people and then empowers us to do the will of God. We've already talked about how he empowered the people of Israel in the Old Testament, even Cyrus and the donkey. We've talked about how Jesus and his followers were empowered in the New Testament to make the blind see, the deaf hear. They were empowered. At the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter and the resurrection, the Spirit came on the first disciples. He rested on their heads in what seemed like flames of fire, and they began to speak in tongues, and they went out and they proclaimed the good news of Jesus to all around them in their own tongues, in their own languages. In Acts 4:31, we read they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The Gentiles, the non-Jews, also received the Spirit, and that's demonstrated to the rather resistant Jews who were a bit exclusive by the Gentiles beginning to speak in tongues. God welcomes everyone, Gentiles and Jews and everyone, into his kingdom, and the kingdom continues to spread through the preaching of the word with accompanying miracles and signs. And God still wants his church to spread, to grow, his message of love to go on going out. So he continues to give gifts to his people, the church. He wants to build us up in unity. He wants us to join in the work of expanding his kingdom and bringing people to know God's love. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. So 1 Corinthians, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. To another, faith. To another, healing. To another, miraculous powers or prophecy or distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment. Which has he given you? Which has he given me? All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. It's God's work. It's not our work. And he chooses who does what. The gifts aren't meant to divide us. They're meant to unite us and strengthen us and build us up as every one of us plays our part. In Ephesians, we're called to be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with each other in love, and to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Like the early believers, who we're told in Acts 4:32 were one in heart and mind, and we sung that line in one of our songs this morning, one in heart and mind, and shared everything they had. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, and there's another list here in Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The Spirit goes on giving gifts, hospitality, teaching, love, all sorts of different gifts he gives us. What are your gifts? What are my gifts? And how are we using them to build up the body of Christ and to proclaim the kingdom of God to a needy world out there that are waiting to hear about Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the love of God that flows out to them as well? Our God is a God of mission. He is a God of outreaching love. Are we God's children? If we're God's children, we will be like God. And 1 John 3:1 tells us, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And Romans 8, just here, tells us, if we are God's children, then we're also God's heirs and co-heirs with Christ. The Spirit in us testifies we are God's children. And if we're children, then we're heirs. And heirs means we inherit all the same blessings that Christ inherits. We inherit peace. We inherit purpose. We inherit empowering. We inherit forgiveness. We inherit eternal life. And you can go on naming the blessings of God that each of us inherits. And we can testify to that because the Spirit of God lives in us. So let's press on to that new whole world of possibilities that are open to us. Tadpole to frog, caterpillar to butterfly, egg to bird. What is our new world of possibility as we go from the law into the Spirit and live empowered by the Spirit of God? Let's see how God works in our church as we receive and fully embed into our lives the Holy Spirit, and we're empowered and filled and transformed to be and to do all that God calls us to. Let's go out as God's children and promote the kingdom of God in our communities and families and the world around us. May God fill each of us with his Holy Spirit anew this day to go forth for him. Amen.